You know, I was actually having a pretty good day. I saw a little teaser from WrestleVotes that they were going to have some news later in the day. News that was going to make some people want to tear their hair out. And I said, oh, this should be interesting. So then I tuned in and went over to my feed. Late in the afternoon, I saw the update, which you saw in that graphic there at the very beginning of the stream, that in fact, on January 2nd, Buffalo, New York will play host to the first SmackDown of 2026, and that SmackDown will be 3 hours long. But not only on January 2nd, the show is moving back to 3 hours starting at the beginning of the year, and it will run through WrestleMania season and very likely will run at least through June. At least. So 3 hours SmackDowns are back. Coming off of last week when I absolutely lost my mind over that show that they gave us on Friday. And I cannot believe that I might be sitting here in a few months reminiscing about the good old days. This, right now, what we are in right now, this being the good old days of SmackDown. I can't wrap my head around that. So I don't know if this is going to be the new annual thing. We're going into the Rumble and WrestleMania. They add another hour onto the show. And you know, for the most part, there are a lot of people who obviously do not like this decision. There are people who love the decision and who think, oh, this is great. This is great. More time for talent on this show. And I'm floored by some of these reactions because to me, and I'm going to get more into this on Sunday, but to me, maybe I'm crazy. The issue here is not one of, oh, this show is not long enough. That's not the issue here. This is what some people don't really understand. The issue is not that the show is not long enough. The issue is that in the time that they have for this show each week, in the 2 hours that they are given every Friday on USA, on SmackDown, they are not making the most of the time that they have. And this idea that the show cannot be as good as it can be unless we have 3 hours, that it's not possible for SmackDown to be all that it could be unless the show is expanded by another 60 minutes is just, it blows my mind that this is how some people think. And I really think people have been brainwashed. I really do. I think there's a lot of newer fans. I think there's a lot of younger fans who didn't become fans of WWE until the last decade, right? 10, 12, 15 years. And so they have been conditioned by 3 hour Raws that we had for so many years to believe that this is the way that wrestling shows should be. That the show has to be 3 hours. And if it's not, well, then it can't possibly be as great as it can be. And it is just such flawed logic to me. My philosophy is very simple. If 2 hours is not enough for you to put out a consistently good television show and you feel the need to expand that show in order to make it good, you're doing something wrong. Something is very wrong in that situation because I don't know about you, but I grew up for a very long time watching wrestling shows that were 2 hours every single week. In some cases, wrestling shows that were not even 2 hours. And there were a lot of really good ones in there. There were some shitty ones, but there were a lot of really good wrestling shows in there. 2 hours is more than enough time, 2.5, if you watch Raw on Monday nights, to tell stories that are compelling, to tell stories that are interesting, and to tell stories that people are going to want to tune in the following week to watch. And to rotate talent in and out, even if they're not on the show consistently every single week, that's okay. Because not everybody has to be on every single show. And I don't know why some people are incapable of admitting that WWE has done a very poor job these last several months when it comes to SmackDown, more so than Raw. Raw also has weeks where it's like, eh. But for the most part, Raw, it feels like it's a show that's being written by a completely different writing team. It feels like Raw is in a totally different universe on most weeks as compared to what we see on Friday nights. And I don't really understand why. But this is where we are right now. A show that at one point was the A show, and not all that long ago, has been anything but. So excuse me if I'm sitting here and I'm not terribly excited about the news that this show is going to expand and get even longer in a few months. Because there are some very, very big changes that need to be made to SmackDown before I will ever get excited about getting more SmackDown. Now, I am of the impression, I am of the belief, I am of the opinion, I've always said this, that there is no wrestling show. I don't care what company, I don't care the quality of the show. There is no wrestling show that needs to be 3 hours long every single week. I've always been consistent about that, and I still feel that way. But if WWE, if USA Network, whoever made the call, it might have been a USA call, but it doesn't matter, right? WWE loves getting the extra content. The reality of the situation is this. This is going to happen. And we're all going to be tuned in because we're heading into Rumble season. We're heading into WrestleMania season, right? That's part of the reason why this is happening. I don't know what that means for Braun Strowman's show that's on after SmackDown. Maybe it's the off season for the show because he just got informed that his show was renewed, I believe. No, it wasn't renewed. I'm sorry. He was celebrating. The ratings went up for the most recent episode, and he was hoping the show would get renewed. I don't know what this means for the Strowman show that airs immediately after SmackDown. This is going to happen. There's nothing anybody can do about it. And what I would like to see, what has to happen, changes have to be made to this show. You watch the show every week. You know where the weaknesses are. You know where the holes are in the show. You know where they need to shore up the roster. You can tell just by watching the show consistently every single week what a lot of those changes are that need to be made. The women's division, right? The tag team division. We're going in circles with a lot of the same faces over and over and over again. It's been a long time since we've had any kind of roster shakeup on this show. A move here and there, but that's not enough. Lash Legend called up from NXT to the main roster last week. Great. That's not enough. Major changes have to be made. And if this move helps facilitate those changes, then great. But I have been given no reason to have faith that this grand change is going to wash over SmackDown overnight. It's going to take time. It has to happen. We cannot get this show that we are seeing now every single week, but with a few extra MFT segments sprinkled in. I can't do it. I can't do it. There's a wall over here, a perfectly good wall. I'm going to bang my head against the wall. Changes need to be made to this show. The only good thing that could come out of this is if it forces them to make those changes. But it all goes back to creative. So again, don't assume that just because the show is moving to 3 hours, it means that everything's going to be great again. Because at one time, when the show was 3 hours, it was actually really good. It comes down to the writing and the creative and what you are doing with the talent that you have on the show. But the talent, again, there's so many different areas of this show that need to be improved upon, fixed, shaken up. That's my hope. That's really all we can do, is sit and wait and hope that the show improves on its own so that when the show gets longer, it'll be easier to digest. I'll have a lot more to say about the 3 hour stuff on the podcast this weekend, but that's my thoughts on 3 hours. Not happy about it because this show is in dire need of help. Hopefully they get the help it needs. But tonight it was 2 hours. We're not there yet. We still have several weeks before the show moves to the 3 hour format. Cody Rhodes defended his WWE championship on the show tonight. Didn't you know that? It was unannounced. It was an impromptu match. It was made earlier in the night. He defended his title against Bronson Reed, who was not a contracted SmackDown talent, but that was the main event. And boy, you know, Cody comes out first, then Bronson, the challenger, comes out next. And it didn't feel like a WWE championship match. It was very cold, not a lot of enthusiasm for it. And honestly, it was more of an angle than a match. The match got thrown out, DQ. They never bother announcing the actual finishes to these matches, but the match was thrown out when the other members of the Vision, Team Vision, heading into Survivor Series, they came out, including the newest addition to the heel team at Survivor Series, Drew McIntyre, the same Drew McIntyre who was suspended by Nick Aldis 1 week ago. So it lasted all of a week, but yes, Drew McIntyre is now back. And now that leaves one spot open on the heel side. On the babyface side, we pretty much know what the War Games team now is going to be. Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Jey Uso, we already knew about them. They're in there. Jimmy Uso has added his name to the list. That leaves one spot open on the men's War Games team. And gee, I wonder who's going to fill that spot in. Perhaps we'll find out at Madison Square Garden this Monday. Who is missing from TV right now who could help fill in a spot on the babyface side? I wonder. Yeah. So the babyface side is complete. The only thing we need to find out, really, honestly, is who takes the fifth and final spot on the heel side. And I think we have a pretty good sense of who that's probably going to end up being. Paul Heyman has a friend. He'll call in a favor. And there's your men's War Games match. And one of the things they did on the show tonight, which, by the way, was marginally better than last week's show. I know that's a very low bar, but it was a better show than last week. Not great, but it was a better show than last week. But what they did tonight was take steps to help fill the gaps, in some of the gaps anyway, in terms of the War Games matches coming up at Survivor Series. So on the women's side, they actually injected some drama into things, because all of a sudden, even though they were all standing united at the end of Raw Monday night, Charlotte Flair realized, hey, you know what? I just remembered, I don't like you, Rhea Ripley. I don't like you, I don't trust you, and I don't want to team with you. So we had Charlotte Flair walking out on her teammates, which means that they are in need now of not just one, but two partners now, because it is going to be 5-on-5. And the reason they did that is because they have a few weeks left until the PLE, and they want to build some drama and intrigue. Of course, Charlotte Flair is going to be in War Games. Now we have to wait and see what it takes to bring her back into the fold. So that is why they shot that angle tonight. We also had two more matches tonight in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament, including the return of a former WWE superstar, the return of a former WWE Intercontinental Champion on the show tonight to wrestle LA Knight. We had another United States Championship open challenge with Ilya Dragunov, putting his title on the line, still consistently the best thing on this show. And we are getting a traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination style match. Not at Survivor Series, but they are resuscitating the old traditional Survivor Series elimination format, which is something that I was hoping Triple H would start doing. I think doing one traditional match on the actual PLE each year would be cool. They've chosen to do it on TV the night before. At least we're getting one. I can't say that the lineup is terribly exciting, but I was hoping we would at least get one. We'll talk about how they set things up on that end tonight as we get into this two-hour edition of SmackDown. It is Friday night, November 14th, 2025. I am the Sala Monster. Thank you for spending your Friday night with me here on the channel. Please subscribe and like. Hit those buttons. We are celebrating 18 years of the Sound Off all November long. You guys have been killing it so far. We're almost, well, basically halfway through the month already. Now, before we get into this review, I needed to bring this up and show you guys something, because this was going around today. I saw this, and I didn't think it was real at first, but then I laughed my ass off when I realized that it actually was. You know, the last time that I visited the Empire State, and I live in New York my whole life. So, of course, the Empire State Building is in New York. The last time I visited the Empire State Building Observatory, it's funny because I actually remember exactly the day that I went up there and visited the observatory, because it was June of 2010. And the reason I remember that is because it was a Monday night. Funny enough, it was a special 3-hour episode of Monday Night Raw. But it was the night that the Nexus attacked John Cena in the main event, right? One of the more memorable angles in Raw history. I made it home just in time to see that whole thing play out. And I can tell you that what I'm about to show you definitely wasn't there, because this is going back, again, 15 years. But this is actually in the Empire State Building. And they have this as part of a whole display of different items. This is a WWE replica championship belt. Now, I want to draw your attention to the placard in the lower left corner of your screen there. You see it says WrestleMania 35. It has a few wrestler names on there. Becky Lynch, Daniel Bryan. But then I will point out to you the name in the middle of the nameplate where it says Bobby Lashley. Yes, yes, Bobby Lashley. What the fuck is a Bobby Lashley? Can somebody please explain this to me and how this wasn't noticed, and how this hasn't been fixed? Because apparently this has been up for a while, apparently. Or again, Again, it wasn't there when I was last up in the observatory, but I don't know. Bob Lee. Now, look, if AEW doesn't jump on this and start marketing some Bobby Lashley bobbleheads and calling them Bob Lee Lashley, then I don't know what the fuck we're doing here. But then again, I don't understand how they haven't started selling those Monet puppets, even if they're just, you know, cheap material. Bob Lee. Look, I think it could always be worse, right? It could have been Blobly. Could have been Blobby Lashley. Can you imagine? Oh, man. I don't get it, man. You had one job. The disrespect is just unbelievable. Bob Lee Lashley. It's ridiculous. All right, they recap. Enough of that. They recap the end of Raw on Monday night when the Kabuki Warriors won the women's tag team titles. We had the return of Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. They came out to make the save. And so that was where Rhea said, War Games. And we had a sense of what the women's War Games match was going to be at Survivor Series. Why those three names, Leopoldo? That's a great question. I have no idea. I don't know why they selected Becky Lynch, Bob Lee Lashley, and Daniel Bryan. That is very weird. I don't even remember if Bob Lee Lashley had a match at WrestleMania 35. Was he even on the card? I was there. I should know. I don't even remember. I don't remember him having a match. That's all I'm going to think now when I see him on TV, like a bobblehead, Bob Lee Lashley. Anyway, Io Sky and Rhea Ripley, they were the first ones out to the ring. Rhea said the Kabuki Warriors thought that they were untouchable since she's been out with a broken nose. If you add Nia Jax and Lash Legend to the mix, they think they have the numbers advantage, but all they've ended up with are more enemies. Io said making enemies always catches up to you, and then she shouted, War Game. Everyone loves doing that. Everyone's got to shout War Games at the top of their lungs. Oh, man. Poor Bobbly. Did he face Balor on that show? Demon Balor? Are you sure about that? God, I have no memory of this. Bobby Lashley wrestled Finn Balor at WrestleMania 35. Like, I was in the building that night. I have no recollection of this whatsoever. I know they stuck a match in there kind of last minute between Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre because Roman had just come back. He had been in remission from the leukemia, so he came back kind of close to Mania. I remember that. Kofi, right? Kofi Mania, the women's main event, Randy Orton and AJ Styles. I remember all that. That's a match I don't remember. Apparently, it didn't leave a very big impression on me. Rhea then introduced two of their teammates for War Games. Out come Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Alexa said the Kabuki Warriors, Nia and Lash, they started it. We're going to finish it. The second that Rhea said War Games on Monday, she knew they were in. Charlotte then told Rhea, look, I can't do this. I can't pretend anymore. She says, I don't like you. I don't trust you. I think you're a snake. Charlotte said that there was too much history between them to look past it. She told Alexa, look, if you want to do it, you can, but you're going to have to count me out. And with that, Charlotte left the ring and she walked to the back. And everybody in the ring was confused. I was confused because why would you wait? I'm thinking about this in like kayfabe sense. Why would you wait until you're live on TV 4 days later to then blow the whole fucking thing up? But that's Charlotte. So now they are down a teammate for War Games. It was very awkward how they did this. Like Charlotte just walked out and that was it. They just cut to the announcers and the announcers were kind of flustered. And then they just previewed what was coming up tonight on SmackDown. That was it. Now later in the show, in the back, the babyfaces were talking amongst themselves. What are we going to do? We need two more teammates. And then they were ambushed by the members of the heel team, or some of them anyway, Lash Legend, Nia Jax. So they got jumped and left for dead. So why did they do this? They did it because they're trying to create drama on the babyface side, right? They want the babyfaces to be at a distinct disadvantage. And they want you for the next week or two to wonder, what are they going to do? Is Charlotte going to come back into the fold? Of course, the answer is yes, she will. But they made it very clear, because Rhea made a comment here, like, we need two more. So, because I was a little unclear if we're doing 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, they're going to stick to the 5-on-5 format. You know, when you look at the women's side, who do we know? We know Asuka, Kairi, Nia, and Lash. There's one spot open. I think that spot is going to Becky Lynch. On the babyface side, we have Rhea, Io, Alexa. Charlotte will end up in the match, and then that leaves one spot open. And I still feel like they're going to have AJ Lee on that babyface side. I know she hasn't been around since WrestlePalooza. I think we could see her as soon as Monday night at Madison Square Garden. But Becky has that title defense against Maxine Dupri. It could go to Maxine. I just think in a match like this, they probably would want AJ on the babyface side. But it's one or the other. You know, it's got to be somebody that Becky has been beefing with and working with if Becky is going to be on the heel side. And I just can't imagine they leave Becky out of War Games when she's right there. So that's, I think, going to end up being the final configuration for both those teams. Now, the opening match on the show. Hey, there's Punk. Hey, Clayton, welcome to the channel. So Uffman came in with a super chat just now. Finn defeated Bobby Lashley. That's Bobbly, by the way. At WrestleMania 35 for the Intercontinental Championship. I can confirm this as I was there. I also confirmed that Bobby Lashley was not there. Oh, Bobbly. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I'm like, boy, you just contradicted yourself. He said Bobbly Lashley was not there. Okay. So that's good to know. That's very good to know. The opening match on the show was The Miz going one-on-one here with Jey Uso. This was the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament. At least they got this out of the way early. Jey yeeted through the crowd on his way to the ring. They went to a commercial break. When they came back, he was in the ring. He was still yeeting. And this guy was ready to run it back. But he was interrupted by The Miz's music. Thank you, Miz. Let's get the show on the road here, okay? Let's get things started. Uso escaped an early skull-crushing finale attempt. He clotheslined Miz out to the floor. Then he took off with a suicide dive, and then they took off into a commercial break. Another one. When they came back, Miz had the advantage. He had a spiked DDT that wasn't enough to pick up the win. So Miz is kicking at this guy's chest. He went for that last kick. Jey countered it into a neckbreaker for a near fall. As Miz scurried to the corner, he avoided the running hip attack. And then he started mocking John Cena. He was doing the John Cena mannerisms. He did the shoulder tackles. He did the you can't see me and the five-knuckle shuffle. Jey, though, recovered. He super kicked Miz. Then he tried to lift him up on his shoulders. Miz, though, wiggled out, and he delivered a skull-crushing finale. And that got a rise out of the crowd. So they were able to get a good near fall out of that. Miz then lifted Uso up on the top turnbuckle. He was trying for an avalanche skull-crushing finale. Jey escaped, and he dropped him. He hit some sort of drop as he came down from the rope. So he basically dropped Miz down, you know, face first on the top turnbuckle. Jey followed that with a spear and then an Uso splash to advance to the next round of this tournament. Against who? We don't know. We have no idea. But Jey Uso, Sheamus, and Rusev, up to this point in the show, have all qualified for the next round of the tournament. I thought, as far as the match is concerned, it was a perfectly solid match. A perfectly solid, if unspectacular, match. It wasn't anything more than that. It had the predictable outcome. Look, Jey Uso is in War Games, okay? The Miz is not. And the only plausible way Jey Uso doesn't win this match is if the Vision got involved and screwed him out of his spot, which was certainly possible because obviously they were there. They were in the building tonight. But like during the match, at no point did I get the feeling that, you know, Jey was not going to win this match. There was no Carmelo Hayes, who was there, by the way. We heard from Hayes later in the show because he's going to be in the tournament too. That's the only reason I was thinking maybe they give Miz a win and the Vision screws Jey. You do Miz and Mello in the next round, but that's out the window. If they do Miz and Mello, it's going to have to happen some other time. I could see Miz screwing Mello, jealous that, you know, he lost his shot, and if I can't have it, you can't have it either. I could see something like that happening next week. We had the United States champion, Ilya Dragunov. He was in the back. He was speaking to Nick Aldis. When DIY and Candice LeRae interrupted, Ciampa was still very upset about Dragunov calling him a jackass. He wanted to know how it made sense that he was dodging him. Dragunov said, look, I made a promise to do things the right way. And the right way was to not give opportunities to jackasses. Said, I'm going to give them to warriors to fight honorably. And there's nothing honorable about Tommaso Ciampa. So someone honorable that he respects is going to get the next shot. Ciampa had a meltdown about this. They walked off. Axiom and Nathan Frazier walked in. Axiom shook his hand and said, thank you. So obviously he was going to be next up in the open challenge. Way to spoil it, guys. They spoiled it. Although, to be honest with you, I mean, look, if it was going to be Axiom, all due respect to Axiom, it's okay. It's okay to spoil that surprise in the back. I don't think anybody was waiting for the big pop, you know, when he came out. But after that, Aldis walked off and the camera is following him. And he stops because when he gets to his office, standing outside of his office are Paul Heyman and Bronson Reed. And Heyman has a contract binder in his hand that he tells Aldis, I need to talk to you for a minute. So they headed into the office and the show went to a commercial break. Now, after the break, they're in the office. Aldis is on the phone and he is alerting security that he needs them. Make your way to my office. And then he hung up with them and he told Heyman, speak your piece. Security's on their way. Said what he had in his hand was the agreement for War Games. And he said that he's allowed, Heyman said, he's allowed to take any talent under WWE contract across all brands. That includes SmackDown. So he said this was just a friendly heads up. And Aldis said, well, thank you for coming all this way to remind me about what was in the agreement when I already knew what was in the agreement. He said this could have been an email. That's most of these SmackDowns, most weeks, by the way. Could have been an email. Today's episode is sponsored by Factor. You know, I just had to turn the clocks back for daylight savings, which means it's getting darker earlier now. But now that the days are shorter, it's even tougher to find time each night to cook dinner, which is why I love Factor. Their chef-prepped, dietitian-approved meals make it easy to stay on track and enjoy something delicious, no matter how hectic the season gets or how short the days might feel. With Factor, you can choose from a wider selection of weekly meal options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp, at no extra cost. Enjoy even more GLP-1 friendly meals and new Mediterranean options packed with protein and fats that are actually good for you. And for the first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. For more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier life. You can feel the difference no matter what your routine may be. I've had plenty of Factor meals from the first box I had delivered to my house, and I can honestly say I've never been let down by any of them. Yeah, you know, obviously I have certain dishes that I prefer over others, but I can always expect a quality meal without the hassle involved in cooking, or should I say attempting to cook for myself. And looking at some of their upcoming menu options, like you know, for the week of November 15th, now that's a great time to try them out if you never have before. If you're looking for a keto-friendly option, check out the herb shredded chicken and butternut squash meal. If you're more calorie conscious, you can try the grilled pork chop and wild rice dish. Those are just a few of the options that they're offering. It's good to have options. Let Factor do the cooking for you. You do the eating with this exclusive offer for Solomonster listeners. Eat smart at factormeals.com/solomonster50off and use code solomonster50off to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code solomonster50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. So at that point, Cody Rhodes showed up. Security showed up also. But Cody walks in, and he got up in Heyman's face. Heyman said, I want to talk about Cody getting involved in vision business. Cody said that he put his friends to the fire, which means he's next through the flames. Where does he come up with this shit? He's always like so dramatic in everything that he says. You put my friends in the fire. Now I will walk through the flames. I don't know. I just laughed. I don't know if that was the reaction that was intended there for that line, but I'm like, who fucking talks like this? So anyway, he was getting all up in Haman's grill, and he told Bronson Reed, look, if you're not here to fight, then you should leave. And Cody told Aldis, Bronson Reed, Cody Rhodes, tonight, because Reed was up for a fight. So he goes, Aldis, make it happen. So then Heyman pipes up and he says, why would you make that match and not have the title on the line? So Cody, of course, the dumb baby face that he is, too much pride, he took the bait and he said, Nick, tonight, make it happen. Cody Rhodes, Bronson Reed for the WWE Championship. And Aldis was trying to talk him out of it, but Cody insisted. So that was our main event. I don't know what Nick Aldis would have done had this impromptu match not been made here in this segment. I have no idea. That's what's always funny about this. Because later in the show, Aldis was telling Chelsea Green she wanted her championship celebration. He was like, there's no time. There's no space on the show. Had this match not been made, Chelsea would have been able to have her celebration, I guess. Somebody said, did he use that line in Street Fighter? Cody probably listened to Through the Fire and Flames by Dragon Force. Yeah, you know what? Maybe it is something he lifted from Street Fighter. Could be. I don't know how much dialogue, though, Guile has in the movie. I'm not sure. I don't think people are going to be watching that Street Fighter movie for the dialogue from Cody Rhodes or Roman Reigns or Hirooki Goto playing E. Honda in the movie. They cut to the arena. As soon as the segment was over, we cut to the arena, and already in the ring, the United States champion Ilya Dragunov and Axiom. This was the U.S. title open challenge. They gave them the jobber entrances here. But hey, I guess if the show goes 3 hours, well, then everybody can get an entrance, and that makes things great. There you go. 3 hours, everybody can get an entrance, right? We got some chain wrestling to start. The champion missed on a chop. Axiom rolled underneath, and that seemed to impress Dragunov. He went for a back elbow. Axiom dodged it and hit a drop kick that sent him out of the ring. And as Axiom tried to go up top, Dragunov intercepted him. He left him sitting on the top rope. And they had a little bit of a skirmish. Dragunov headbutted Axiom down to the mat. He followed that with a senton for a near fall. They came out of a break. Dragunov connected with a German suplex. Axiom came right back with a release Northern Lights. Both men struggled to their feet. Axiom blasted him in the face with a strike, and then he jumped from the top rope with a shotgun missile drop kick. Dragunov went for a Constantine special. That got reversed into an armbar by Axiom, and the champion broke free with a deadlift powerbomb. Axiom, though, got ahead of an attempted H-bomb, and in the highlight of the match, this is what woke everybody up, because the crowd was pretty quiet for the majority of, and I watched even through the commercial break, they were pretty fucking silent for most of this match. This right here woke everybody up out of their slumber. So he turns this move here, Axiom does, into this incredible leaping springboard DDT for the nearest of near falls. And everybody is just buzzing after this spot, including the announcers. They're going nuts for it too, but you got to see this. So basically, if you could visualize it, they're standing up and Axiom has Dragunov's arm, and you need some cooperation on a spot like this. You see this in a lot of lucha matches. Rey Fénix does this a lot. He'll grab the guy's arm. He'll, you know, scale the ropes or, you know, jump up to the top rope and then do some sort of arm drag takedown. Axiom jumps up on the rope and he does a backflip, but he does a backflip into this great spike DDT, and Dragunov just sold the shit out of it. It was totally safe the way he landed and everything, but it looked great. So that was the highlight of the match right there. This is awesome chance followed after this. Stunned in the corner, the champion is. Axiom lifted him up on the top rope. He was looking for an avalanche Spanish fly. Dragunov tried to fight back. Axiom, though, got the Spanish fly. Right, big avalanche Spanish fly off the top rope. But man, you know, top rope Spanish flies, I guess they just don't hit like they used to. Because Axiom backed up into the corner. He was setting up for his finish, the Golden Ratio. Dragunov, though, intercepted him with a Torpedo Moscow. So, so much for the Avalanche Dragon, what the fuck was the move? Spanish Fly. I was going to call it the Dragon Fly. So I think I just invented a move. So much for the Avalanche Spanish Fly. I guess it wasn't very effective. Dragunov followed that up with an H-bomb for the win, and he retains the United States Championship. That should be a move, though. The Dragon Fly, we have the Spanish Fly, there should be a Dragon Fly. And Dragunov is the Mad Dragon, so it should be his move. I just don't know what the move would look like. After the match, Dragunov showed respect for the challenger's effort, helped him to his feet, two of them shook hands. This was another good outing here for Dragunov. I mean, this guy's on a roll. He's been killing it ever since he came back, ever since they put that championship on him. He took the mantle from Sami Zayn, who had this incredible series of matches, and they haven't skipped the beat. You know, Dragunov picked up. They passed the baton. He grabbed the baton, and he's been running with it ever since. Again, the crowd was not buying Axiom until the DDT spot. That's what got them into the match, but that came in the last, like, 90 seconds of the match. Up to that point, they were having a solid match. Probably the weakest, though, of all the matches we've seen so far, but then it picked up a lot in that last 90 seconds. So, good effort here. After a break, they showed a replay of what happened during commercial. Axiom got jumped at ringside by Tommaso Ciampa until Nathan Frazier came over to chase him away. So, Ciampa is on a rampage as he waits to get his shot at the U.S. title, which is coming. They've also been teasing that Tama Tonga is going to get a shot. There was no further movement or developments on that tonight. But we already know who two of the next challengers, whenever that may be, we know who two of the next challengers are likely going to be. In the back, R-Truth was with Nick Aldis. And he was imploring the general manager to allow him to be in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament. And he had two balls in his hand for Nick to put into the tumbler. He was begging Aldis to take his balls. So Aldis did. Truth left. Chelsea Green walked in with Alba Fire. Chelsea had both belts around her waist. She had her brand new Women's United States Championship that she regained after a Herculean effort in that long Iron Woman match last week against Julia. And then she also had her AAA mixed tag team title belt around her waist. She was wearing a bathrobe. She had some, girl shit under her eye. She looked like she just came out of the spa. And she's standing there and she was very upset that Aldis canceled her championship victory celebration tonight. But all will be forgiven, she said, if he allows her to have her celebration next week with Pyro. And Aldis said, I think I can make that work. And then he handed Truth's balls to Chelsea. Comedy. Sami Zayn was out next to address the crowd and the MFTs, speaking of comedy. Sami said he was in his spiffy flannel. Modern incarnation of Mick Foley, this guy is. Said that since he came to SmackDown, there were some extremely high highs and there were some extremely low lows. Oh, you don't have to tell me, Sammy. I've sat through it. I'm well aware of the extremely low lows of SmackDown. He talked about how he beat Solo Sikoa for the United States Championship. He did some incredible things with that title, like facing John Cena in his last ever SmackDown match. Zayn mentioned that the last 4 weeks have been incredibly rough on him and he was not medically cleared. So he was forced to watch Solo and the MFTs attack all of his friends and attack people that he had great respect for. But that ends tonight. And he challenged Solo Sikoa to come on out here and face me, man to man. Solo Sikoa walks out, surrounded by his juggalos. Sikoa said that he knew the real Sami Zayn, someone who was pathetic, someone who was a selfish liar. He claimed that Zayn didn't care about the people in the back. He didn't care about the people here in Albany. So that was in contrast to himself. He said he cares about his family and their loyalty to him. Sikoa told Zayn that he knew nothing about loyalty. He knew nothing about love of family. And so Solo threatened to do harm to Sammy, who was still wounded, he said. He motioned for the MFTs to come to the ring, but then he stopped them from attacking. And he said, you know what? I want you to be at 100%. I'm going to wait until you're medically cleared. But he made it very clear, I'm coming for you. Sammy then revealed that as of today, he is officially medically cleared. And that if Solo wanted to do something about it, then he could do something about it right now. But then Sammy said, I didn't come alone. So right as he said this, Shinsuke Nakamura... By the way, what? There's some weird kind of undertones here in this segment. You know, you got Solo saying, I'm coming for you. This is after a segment where R-Truth handed his balls to Nick Aldis. And Nick Aldis then handed those balls off to Chelsea Green. We go into a segment here where Solo Sikoa is telling Sami Zayn, I'm coming for you. And then Sami Zayn responds by saying, I'm not coming alone. What is Road Dogg doing on this show? Who thought this was a good idea putting him in charge? But just as he said that he's not coming alone, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rey Fénix, and the Motor City Machine Guns, they showed up. They attacked the MFTs to even the odds. And then we had poor Rey Fénix. So Rey Fénix goes up to the top rope. All the MFTs are all bunched up outside in a pile. And Rey Fénix hits a corkscrew plancha. And, of course, the idea is that all of these men are going to catch him on the way down or at least cushion the blow from the fall. This man is twisting in midair. Well, they didn't catch him. And so Rey Fénix basically splatted on the floor outside. But I took note of who was in the middle of that pile, who was standing right there, and who failed to catch Rey Fénix. It was the great Tonga Loa. I know this will come as a great shock to all of you. But yes, Tonga Loa and the rest of them didn't exactly catch Rey Fénix. And I'm sure that landing didn't feel too good. But he seemed to be okay. I mean, he had a look on his face when he landed. Like, that must have sent some shockwaves through the man's body. But he popped up and he got in the ring and he celebrated and stood tall with the baby faces. And then in the back later, just to follow up on this, very angry, Solo Sikoa had confronted Nick Aldis, and Aldis informed him that in 2 weeks, the night before Survivor Series, there will be a traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination style match where Solo and his MFTs will face all five of the men who we just saw out in the ring. So you've got Sami Zayn, you've got Rey Fénix, you've got Shinsuke Nakamura, and you've got the Motor City Machine Guns. And then we got some Wyatt 6 style VHS glitches. And then, again, Aldis had left, Solo had left, but they kept the shot, that particular backstage shot, and off in the background to the left, you could see Uncle Howdy was standing there. First time we've seen Uncle Howdy on this show in a very long time. Now, if you remember, the Wyatt 6 were seemingly on a collision course with the MFTs, and I know you were all very excited to see how this story was going to unfold. And then Bo has had some family issues with his father. He's been unavailable. We have not seen him on the show in a very long time. So things got put on the back burner, and I do wonder if that would have been the traditional Survivor Series elimination match that we would have gotten. Although I don't know if there are there even enough Wyatt 6 members? Let's see, you got Uncle Howdy, you've got Joe Gacy, you've got Dexter Loomis, and you've got Eric Rowan. So no, you would have to have a fifth guy. I assume that would have been Sami Zayn. So I don't know how they're going to factor into this or if they're going to factor into this at all. The match is made, so they're not going to have anything to do with the match, but maybe they'll have something to do with the finish. Maybe they'll have something to do after the match. And they'll pick up with the Wyatts and the MFTs. We'll see. I wish I could tell you I cared more about this. I don't. I've outlined all of the issues I have with the MFTs and the way they've been presented and portrayed on this show. It could have been something more than what it is, but it's very low effort on WWE's part. This is a classic example. The MFTs are a classic example of... We're going to feed you this very bland meal. We're not going to put any kind of seasoning on it. We're not going to try to spice it up for you at all. It's like, here's your fucking gruel. Like we're in prison. It's like a plate of prison food. That's what it is. Now, Cody Rhodes was in the back. Cody's getting ready for his match. Jey Uso walks up to him. And he wishes him luck. He says, I'm going to have your back tonight. Jimmy Uso then shows up. And he tells them both, I talked to CM Punk already, and I'm in for War Games. So, again, you look at what this team is shaping up to be. You've got CM Punk, you've got Cody Rhodes, and you've got the Usos. That's 4 out of 5 right there. And we're not looking at John Cena, I don't believe. I think we're looking at Roman Reigns. I mean, what else even makes sense here in this situation? Of course, Roman, they were chanting OTC tonight at the end of the show. But they know. The people know what this is setting up for. Even though Roman, the last time we saw him, he said he didn't want to see his cousins until Christmas. But there are no big shows around Christmas. The big show is Survivor Series. And then the next big show for Roman will be the Royal Rumble. Because I don't see Roman having any kind of role on December 13th. That's all about John Cena. That's not about Roman Reigns. So we know what War Games now is looking like. LA Knight will not be in War Games, but he is in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament, and he was facing a mystery challenger tonight. So LA Knight comes out. He gets the first entrance. He's waiting for his opponent to come out, and it turned out to be Mr. Chelsea Green. Matt Cardona, or shall I say, Zack Ryder. Woo, woo, woo. He even had the old music, or the remix version of his old Zack Ryder music. Wasn't exactly the original. But he was back on the main roster tonight for the first time in 5.5 years. And he got a good reaction. It was definitely a case where I think most of the people, or a good number of people in the building, seemed to know who he was. It's not the kind of reaction he would have gotten, for example, had he come out this Monday in Madison Square Garden, or if he came out on Long Island at the Nassau Coliseum, which is where, I'll be out on Long Island tomorrow. This was Albany. Albany, for those who don't know, Albany is quite a distance away from these places. So he got a respectful reaction. It wasn't anything overwhelming, but he got a good reaction. And it's just, it's so silly. You know, it is so silly that he can wrestle literally weeks ago, just recently, on behalf of TNA, wrestling in NXT against Josh Briggs as Matt Cardona. But he can't be Matt Cardona on the main roster. Zack Ryder was such an important entity on the main roster that he must be Zack Ryder. Back on TV. He cannot be Matt Cardona, even though he was on one of our television shows only a few weeks ago as Matt Cardona. It's stupid. It really does feel like they want this to just exist in its own little universe unto itself. That's what it feels like. So Ryder went for an early schoolboy roll-up, which shockingly did not work. And I'm only being partially sarcastic when I say that. Because, I mean, the way Triple H has been booking LA Knight for the last few months, would you really be shocked if he did LA Knight like that? Because I wouldn't. So, after a break, Knight avoided a clothesline. He unleashed a flurry of punches, followed by the neck breaker for a near fall. Knight continued on offense, but a scoop slam reversal led to Ryder picking up some momentum. As Knight was down and out in the corner, Ryder hit the old broski boot. And then they buried him a little bit on commentary for playing with toys and for being the internet champion. Both Michael Cole and Corey Graves were having fun at his expense on commentary. Knight countered and attempted an unprettier into a reverse DDT. Ryder avoided the elbow drop from the top. He connected on a rough Ryder for a good near fall. Ryder headed up top, but his attempt at a standing leg drop was countered into a power bomb by LA Knight, who then finished things off with a BFT to advance to the next round of the tournament. Solid match. I'm happy for Cardona that he got the spot, or got a spot, in the tournament. He does have history with John Cena. I think you do want some people, at least in this tournament, you know, at least a few, who have some sort of documented history with Cena. I think that makes sense. You want to have a mix of newer talent, younger talent. I will tell you, all the talent that we have seen so far, and even a lot of the talent coming up in some of the matches they've announced, outside of the Javon Evans-Gunther match that they announced for Monday, which I'm very much looking forward to, not a lot of like younger talents in this tournament. And I'm not even sure how many slots are left. There aren't that many spots left in this tournament. And honestly, Javon Evans is basically like the only one. And now Carmelo Hayes is in there too. He's a bit older. He's like 10 years older than Javon Evans, but not a lot of youth in this tournament. You know, for a guy in John Cena who, even on Monday, you know, has talked about the up-and-coming generation and wanting to provide opportunities to them. And I know I'm sure he doesn't have a hand in the booking of this tournament, but you would think there would be a better mix of some newer and younger faces in here, and that's really not been the case so far, which is kind of disappointing. I'm not going to lie, but I'm happy Cardona at least was able to get his face here on SmackDown. He has been very vocal about, you know, wanting the opportunity to come back to WWE. And I'm sure he would love to also be able to travel and work with his wife, you know, like Aleister Black and Zelina Vega now are able to do on SmackDown, or Seth and Becky, Punk and AJ, all these different couples. But he's been busting his ass on the indies now for a few years, and he's been doing phenomenal as the indie god. But you could tell, like, he would love to have another shot, you know, on the main roster in WWE. I didn't get the feeling from this, and I don't know, but I didn't get the feeling that this is going to lead to a full-time contract or anything like that. It was probably a one-and-done, at least for the time being. But the way I look at it, this was a win-win. You know, you got Cardona a spot in the tournament, and he got to be on SmackDown tonight. And it's cool, you know, that we have some talents in here, hopefully more, that are not on the main roster, that are not even necessarily with the company per se, who are able to participate in this. And then on the flip side, LA Knight got a win, which for him is good because he hasn't been getting very many of those. So I look at this as a win-win. And as far as Monday, we have Gunther and Javon Evans, but we also have Solo Sikoa against a mystery opponent who likely will end up being Joe Hendry. And I'm sure that'll get a big reaction in Madison Square Garden. There was another idea that I had as far as how you could go with Joe Hendry on Monday, and I'll talk more about that on the podcast on Sunday, because there is another way that you could go with this. We have the WWE Women's Champion Jade Cargill, non-title, of course, one-on-one against B-Fab. I wish I knew where I saw the video. It was on Instagram. I don't remember what account it was. I think it was one. It was like a makeup artist. But it was a video of her working on Jade's scar. So like when they zoom in on Jade's scar, sometimes it looks, you know, all gnarly and stuff. And I wasn't sure. It's totally a makeup job. I saw the scar without all the makeup on. It's actually healing really well. But they color it in and put some makeup on it to make it look even more badass. So if you were wondering, like, is that scar real? Is it not real? It's not real. Or at least it's very, very embellished. But you know what? It works for Jade. It makes her look like even more of a badass. So anyway, B-Fab escaped an early chokeslam attempt. She hit Jade with a dropkick and elbows in the corner, but her attempt at a pump kick got met by an elbow to the face by Jade, who followed that up with a fallaway slam and then a kip up. Jade then delivered the choke slam, which was followed by a power bomb, but she was not satisfied with just one. So she gave her another power bomb, and then she hit Jaded and got the decisive win in 2 minutes. And if anything, I think this actually went longer than I expected. Meechan then got in the ring to check on B-Fab. Jade took notice of this. She went face to face with her, and then Jade shoved Meechan down on her ass. So they're setting up a match in the next few weeks between these two, which seemed like the likely destination, because who the fuck else do they have for Jade to work with, right? You feed her some easy, quick wins on TV, and then you build to whoever that next challenger, that real competitive challenger, is going to be. And I think it was the right move to take the tag belts off of Charlotte and Alexa, because you almost have no choice but to go to them next. And I think it would be in the reverse order. I think if anything, we would get Jade and Alexa, and then build to Jade and Charlotte, because Jade and Charlotte is going to be the bigger match in their view. You could tell because that's the match they've teased now multiple times on TV. They haven't teased Jade and Alexa. They've had multiple face-to-face confrontations over the last several months, including one just, what was it, last week, with Jade and Charlotte. That's the bigger match that they're going to be building to. I don't know if that's the Rumble match or a Saturday night's main event match in January. I don't know. You almost have no choice. It goes back to what I talked about at the beginning of the review, where this roster needs a refresh. This roster needs help. The women's division needs help. Jade needs challengers. Right? Even if Bianca was on the show, you're not going to Jade and Bianca until probably WrestleMania. What do you do in the meantime? And that's if Bianca's even back in time for WrestleMania. Who does Jade work with? You need Alexa and Charlotte in that role because there's nobody else. To the back, where Nick Aldis announced the next two matches in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament, which is coming up on SmackDown next Friday. These are the matches. Carmelo Hayes will go one-on-one with Bronson Reed. I don't suspect that's going to end very well for Carmelo Hayes. Although, you know what? Given what happened at the end of SmackDown tonight, I could see him backdooring his way into a win. Because one of the last images we saw on the show tonight was Bronson Reed pancaking Cody with a tsunami splash. So I actually can see Carmelo Hayes advancing in the tournament, but what a lame way to advance, though. That's about the only way he moves on in this tournament, is if Cody comes out and gets revenge on Bronson Reed. So that's one match. In the other match, we have Finn Balor one-on-one against Penta. And honestly, after they announced these two matches, my reaction was, meh. Meh. I'm happy that, you know, Hayes got a spot in this tournament. I mean, I think that's cool. But correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that they said it, Michael Cole may have said it, that Balor and Penta is the end of the opening round. So that may be it. Like, whoever this mystery man is against Solo Sikoa on Monday, I don't know that there's any other surprises left to be had in this tournament. I don't have a fucking bracket, so I can't tell you if I'm missing another match or two, but I think that's it. I think Balor and Penta next Friday, and that's the end of the opening round. Meh. I have not been impressed by this tournament. Gunther and Javon is legitimately the only thing in this tournament I'm looking forward to. That's why when I pitched that idea, I pitched Gunther and Javon Evans. I talked about this on TNT a few weeks ago. My idea was to have that and actually build to it as the finals of the tournament. Like, what an intriguing final that would have been. And you tell the underdog story with Javon. They chose to do it in the opening round. I'm just happy we're getting the match. Like, that match intrigues me. I wish we had more intriguing matches in this tournament. Now, maybe as the tournament progresses and we actually get some kind of a bracket, maybe we'll end up with a couple of interesting matches, but I'm not seeing it. You know, right now I'm just not seeing it. But they gave Melo a quick promo backstage after this with Kathy Kelly. He addressed John Cena. He said that if he gets the shot against him, he won't miss. Bronson Reed showed up and said that he was going to go out there right now and end Cody's reign as the WWE champion. And then he would end Melo on his way to ending John Cena's career. Good luck with that. We got another Aleister Black and Zelina Vega promo video talking about Damian Priest, this never-ending feud. It feels like, and I know it hasn't, and look, it's a solid mid-card feud, but why does it feel like this has been dragging on for 1,000 years at this point? Can we just get on with this? They had a last man standing match. That's when he took the fireball to the face. Like, where do you go after you do a last man standing match? I feel like they did things in reverse here. But in this video, he talked about Damian Priest, and Zelina said that they've corrupted him, and Black said that they forced Damian to break his code, and now he had greater things in mind, namely those who hold championships on SmackDown. Okay, then. But yeah, let's move this along. Then it was time for our main event for the WWE Championship. It was Cody Rhodes defending the title against Bronson Reed. Monday Night Raw's Bronson Reed. He's not even a contracted SmackDown talent. And yet Nick Aldis approved this WWE Championship match here tonight because I guess Cody wanted it. So, all right, there you go. Now think about this, right? Bronson Reed against Cody for the title. If Bronson Reed wins the WWE Championship, are we to believe that Bronson Reed is no longer in the vision on Raw and he's just going to be on SmackDown from now on? Like, how does that work? I don't know. It was never explained because there isn't a person in the world, not even Mrs. Reed, who honestly believed that this man was going to win the championship, but that's not why this match was happening. It served a different purpose. Cody nailed Reed with a disaster kick. Reed came back with a jagged edge, Death Valley driver, but he missed on the follow-up tsunami. This left Reed open for a Cody cutter for a close near fall. As Reed scurried out to the floor, Cody went for a suicide dive. Reed, though, cut him off with an elbow strike just as he was about to come through the ropes. Outside the ring, Reed had Cody in sight for a running charge, and he was going to knock this man through the timekeeper's barricade. Cody, though, could smell him coming from a mile away, so he moved out of the way. And Reed went flying over the barricade. He landed on the concrete outside. So after this, Cody clears off the announce desk. And wouldn't you know, surprise, surprise, guess who showed up? The Vision. Well, the other member of The Vision, Bron Breakker and Logan Paul. Logan Paul is part of The Vision until November 29th, and then he won't be. But it was Bron Breakker and Logan Paul. And they attack Cody Rhodes for the disqualification, or what should be a disqualification. Knowing this company, they'll just call it a no contest, even though the babyface was attacked by the heels. So the Usos ran out to make the save. They cleared the ring of Paul and Breakker. They dropped Logan with a 1D. Jimmy then went outside. He went under the ring, and he pulled out a Slim Jim table. This is a preview of what we can expect in War Games. If you thought it was nuts, in Blood and Guts, everybody bringing in a weapon. You wait until War Games. Everybody will have their kendo stick. They'll have their chairs. They'll have their tables. Same weapons we get every single year. They'll have the Slim Jim logo on them because it's not official unless it says Slim Jim. So he slides the Slim Jim table into the ring. Jimmy sets Logan down across the table. And the Usos go to opposite corners. They're going to hit a double Uso splash. But who should show up on the apron to knock Jimmy off the top rope? Why, it is Drew McIntyre. Screwed for the better part of really the entire year. Suspended a week ago by Nick Aldis. They got into a cussing match in the back. Remember, they showed that on their social media after the show went off the air. They were dropping F-bombs. They were making fun of Ridge Holland. Drew McIntyre's talking about, how am I going to feed my fucking family? And Aldis is telling him, shut the fuck up and get the fuck out of here. This is a real conversation between the two of them. It lasted all of 1 week. And Drew McIntyre is back. He shoves him off the top rope. Now here comes an angry Nick Aldis. And he marches down to the ring. What are you doing here? He goes over to Paul Heyman. He gets up in Heyman's face. And he's yelling at Heyman. And Heyman has the binder with the contract. And he is just yelling over and over in his face, anybody, anybody. Remember, I could sign anybody from any brand to be on my team for War Games. So Breakker speared Jey Uso through the table in the ring, got propped up in the corner, and it mostly broke. Wasn't a clean break, but it mostly broke. Logan Paul hit Jimmy with the loaded punch. Cody tried to get involved, but McIntyre hit him with a Claymore kick. And then Bronson Reed followed up with a tsunami to flatten Cody. McIntyre shook Paul Heyman's hand and now officially joins their team for War Games. All the bad guys posed to close the show. Oh my God, what are the baby faces? I got to do my Kevin McAllister face. What are the baby faces going to do? They're one man short. If only there was some other big star on the roster who can make his 17th return this year and come to the aid of the babyfaces to ward off Paul Heyman's team. I wonder who it can be. Madison Square Garden on Monday night. We will find out. You'll hear the music. He'll make his way out, and we'll have our War Games team. And then the heels just have to find one more person because they're down a man. And we can probably surmise that that man is going to end up being Brock Lesnar because we have not seen Brock Lesnar since WrestlePalooza. There's no reason to think that Paul Heyman would not reach out to Brock as a friend and say, hey, we need you. Brock's not exactly a team player, but I think it's safe to say that he's the likeliest choice to fill out that final spot in the War Games match. And then we'll have our teams. The main event itself, it was nothing special. It was a means, really, just to get to the post-match angle to set up the return of Drew McIntyre. How they brought him back, the Heyman stipulation, that was the story they went with. Heyman said, look, the rule is that I could pick anybody who is under contract with this company across all three brands. And technically, he was suspended, but he is still under contract, so that nullifies the suspension. That, in theory, that would should really only mean that McIntyre is back for one night. Nick Aldis can still go, wait a minute, you're still suspended. Now, are they going to do that? Probably not. But he is going to be back for War Games, and look, it makes sense. As soon as they announced that Cody Rhodes was going to be in War Games, it only makes sense that Drew McIntyre is on the opposing side. Plus, Drew has history with CM Punk, so it's not like him and Cody are the only people that have history together. So, to that end, it makes sense. And they did what they had to do tonight to fill things out a little bit more. Still incomplete, but they still have 2 weeks left to go until we get to War Games. This was not a great show. It was a slight improvement from last week. It was better than last week. It's a very low bar. We had another solid entry in the U.S. title open challenge tonight. They continued the story between Dragunov and Tommaso Ciampa, which gives Ciampa and DIY something to do. It was nice to see Cardona, if only for one night, back on the main roster. They gave LA Knight a win, which is good. We don't get too many of those. So when you get one, if you're an LA Knight fan, you got to kind of cling to it and hang on to it like a fucking child. Because it could be ripped out of your arms at any second. It could be kidnapped by the evil Paul Levesque. But for tonight, LA Knight got a win. He moves on to the next round against who? We don't know. And we had some progression on the War Games front, right? Charlotte causing drama with the women. Drew McIntyre makes his return, so he's back on TV now. And that's where we are heading into Madison Square Garden. You want to do 3 hours of this, huh? You want to do 3 hours of this show here every single week. There are some big changes that are going to have to be made by January if they're going to make this work. If they're going to make this a quality program in 3 hours. You cannot take SmackDown in its current form. You cannot take SmackDown in its current incarnation, in the state that it's in right now, and stretch it out to 3 hours and expect to put on a good show every week. I don't give a shit how many matches get more time. It's not about that. It's not about that. You could take any two members or two teams you want to, a lot of talented men and women on this roster, and put them out there and give them an extra 15 minutes to have a banger match on the show every week. Okay? It doesn't matter if the creative that is supporting them and the stories that you're trying to tell and the feuds that you're trying to put together are not interesting. There have to be changes. Now that we know this show is actually getting fatter, they're feeding it, this show needs changes. And I just hope to God that they can start to implement them now so that by the time we get to January, they might be in a pretty good state. Don't wait until January. Start now. You have more people to call up? Do it now. And get them prepped and ready to go heading into 2026. Man, that news put me in a sour mood. What did you think of SmackDown from Albany tonight? 61.7% thumbs up for tonight's show. That is a stark contrast to the poll from last week. 38.3% thumbs down. You can vote at Solomonster on X is the place to go. I did want to, before I get into all your questions and we have some fun here, I did want to just mention, because this is where I will be tomorrow, if you are in the area, there's a big convention in New York tomorrow out on Long Island. The big event, the biggest autograph expo in the state, not just wrestlers, a lot of wrestlers going to be there, past and present, but also celebrities, athletes. Mike Tyson was going to be there. He had to cancel. Bret Hart also was going to be there. He had to cancel. But a lot of people going to be there. And then at night, after the expo ends, that goes from 10 to 4, at 8 p.m., House of Glory has Super Clash. And this is just some of the names on the card right here. Mercedes Moné challenging for another championship. Nick Nemeth against the Amazing Red. We got Killer Cross against a mystery opponent on the show. Shayna Baszler against Maki Ito might be my favorite. I am very much looking forward to calling that match. So I'll probably be walking around the floor during the expo earlier in the day if anybody's going to be around. And then we have the big show at night. So tickets are still available. They are going quick. So you go to HOGwrestling.net and pick one up. Or two or three. Bring your friends. It's going to be a fun night tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Get into your super chats here. Victor, who do you see winning the Women's Royal Rumble next year? I don't know. Depends who's in there. If Liv Morgan is in there, she's got to be one of the favorites. But I could see Rhea. I could see Bianca. If I had to go with an early favorite right now, assuming she's back by then, I would go with Bianca Belair. Thoughts on a Dark Side of the Ring episode on Mr. Perfect? I think that you could definitely do one. I mean, as someone who was obviously taken from the world earlier than he should have been, and he had a drug problem there towards the end, played a role in his death. I think that fits the criteria for Dark Side of the Ring. Buy, sell, rent. Jay-Z, James Brown, Britney Spears. My God. Gonna buy on James Brown. Rent on Jay-Z and sell on Britney Spears. Or just sell Britney Spears. And also buy or sell Hogan, Piper, Edge, John Cena. I'm just gonna buy on... I mean, what does that even mean, Victor? There's no criteria for this. It's kind of a weird question. It's impossible to answer. Hogan was the man for me as a kid. Then I got smartened up. And I came to appreciate other talents who did not get the same level of attention or maybe didn't sell quite as many tickets as Hogan did. But Hogan was that guy in the 80s. Piper was awesome. You know, those were my guys. How come Macho Man wasn't a bigger star than Hogan? He just wasn't as big of a box office draw. And Vince chose to put all of his muscle behind Hogan. Hogan was his golden goose. Savage had a great run. He really did. I mean, especially when he was the champion that first time. They did good business with him as the champion, but Hogan was Hogan. Simple as that. Why wasn't he a bigger star? Because Hulk Hogan existed. That's why. Super Pony says, update. That's not going to work for me, brother. That's after he asked, I'm sure this Miz versus Jay match will be cinema. Thank you, Super Pony. Oh, we got our boy. I smoke a lot of weed. With the $4.99. That might be the only way to get through SmackDown. Honestly, I think he's got the right idea. He did it with the US and WWE belts. Final Cena redesign for the Intercontinental title, but it's the classic IC belt with a black or maybe a blue strap. Just an idea. He's not going to have that championship long enough to redesign it, though. That's the thing. But if he was going to, I think that the classic Intercontinental title design on a white strap. I know they use white straps now for the women's belts, but the old Intercontinental belt on a white strap, now that was a thing of beauty. I would bring that back. That's what Cody brought back. When Cody brought back some version of the old design in like 2011, I think it was on a white strap. Like when Miz was holding that championship and having actually some pretty good matches with it back in 2017, 2016, 2017. It was on a white strap. There's nothing wrong with that. Give me back shots, Sala Monster. No. I really believe they refused to disband the MFTs because that would be the end of Solo getting real TV time. Big Cousin Roman wouldn't like that. I can't say that there's no truth in that. Would they have any ideas for Solo? Because Solo can be a funny guy. But they have him as like acting as like the mob boss here, and that's not him. It doesn't work. He looks like a poser. He's not Roman. Holiday 197 says, "Hi, Solo. I was seriously considering skipping SmackDown tonight and just watching your review. An hour into watching the show, and I am regretting it." You should have just stuck with me, brother. I could have told you what the good stuff was. And then you can go watch it. The Boss Mo Jackson. Who is your early Money in the Bank predictions? Are you out of your mind? Money in the Bank is the end of August, dude. Early Money in the Bank predictions? I fucking know. I mean, I don't even know who's going to be on the main roster at that point. My early Money in the Bank prediction on the men's side, I'll go Trick Williams. On the women's side, I'll go Lash Legend. Funny enough, the two of them are a couple. Josh Carlos, better film, The Rundown or The Condemned? I enjoyed The Rundown more. Boss Mo Jackson, I'd like to have seen Oba instead of Zach. Well, Oba just returned at the end of NXT on Tuesday night. So apparently he is not done with NXT yet. Oba Femi will not be in the tournament. Also, he says, we need to see a bracket. Random matches isn't it. Oh, you will get a tumbler and you will enjoy it. You don't enjoy the random tumbler? What are your early Royal Rumble predictions? Men and women. Well, I said before, I think Bianca would be my early prediction on the women's side. On the men's side, that's a little bit tougher. There was a time a few months ago where I would have said Sami Zayn, but they just have gotten completely away from that story about him. You know I can be a world champion. Like, he hasn't said anything about that in months. So I'm thinking, man, Bron Breakker. Maybe I go Bron Breakker as like an early favorite pick for the Rumble. But honestly, I could see Roman Reigns. Arabian Knight, next NXT 2 weeks ago, he's Matt Cardona and in TNA. And tonight we see Zack Ryder. I bet deep down he's gutted that he had to go by this again after reinventing himself the last 5 years. Didn't he say in that interview he did with Chris Van Vliet that he would never be Matt or he would never be Zack Ryder again? Believe me, I'm sure it wasn't his choice. The Boss Mo Jackson says, I get so much pleasure seeing Cody smashed at the end. I love the way Bronson does his finish, but Logan does not look like a wrestler. You read some of these member chats here. Yes, the member chats do not show on this particular screen. So I have to go fish. I have to go fish for them on a different tab here. It's a pain in the ass. Thanks, YouTube. But I'll find them here. Let's see. We got one here from Sidro. 16 months from our boy Sidro. This was from an hour ago. My door was ajar, so I added jelly. Now it's a door jam. This guy. And I'm trying to remember what the French word for white is. My mind just keeps going blank. Look at this guy trying to be sophisticated. Bobby Means with 21 months. He's got Sidro trumped by 5 months there. There was a rumor that WWE is considering Vicar against Rhea for WrestleMania or Vicar against Becky Lynch. If that's the case, then who would you have winning the Rumble? Bianca Belair. Because whoever challenges Stephanie Vicar, if she is still the champion at WrestleMania, could win the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I think that person is Rhea Ripley. And again, Jamie, from earlier, thank you for those 5 gifted memberships. You're awesome. All right, let's get back to these now. Prince Vegeta 95, as a fellow Sopranos fan, what do you think happened to Valerie the Russian after the Pine Barrens episode? He was an interior decorator, after all. He was, yes. He was an interior decorator. See, I like to believe that he went into an actual career. He had a career change, and he actually became an interior decorator. Like, in my mind, that's what I see. That's what I envision as his future. I have to believe this. Joseph with the $2 says, thought you could use this after SmackDown moving to 3 hours. Thank you, Joseph. Although, after this news, it's I could use more than $3. You know, a bottle of whiskey costs a lot more than $3 or $2. $2, I think. Bottle of whiskey's not cheap. But thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for looking out. Refresh this list here so that you guys can see all the new ones. Ragnarok says, really? Carmelo against Bronson. I wonder who's going to win. Anyway, my prediction, Joe Hendry shows up on Raw and they debut Obafemi in the Rumble. Well, again, I said Carmelo could stand a chance if Cody gets revenge, and then he could backdoor his way into the next round, which, I just think would be incredibly lame if that happened. But it would get him into the next round, so for him, you know, I guess a win is a win, but what a lame way to win, you know? Super Pony, SmackDown back to 3 hours? That's what we do. In the Triple H voice. Yes, he's very fond of saying that. It's what we do. It's what we do. This, what we do. I've seen the compilation video. It's amazing how many times he says that. Prince Vegeta says, with a $9.99, Logan Paul might be the most undeserving part-timer WWE has ever had. He has 2 good matches every 4 months, disappears, and then comes back in a main event program. He pinned Jelly Roll. Big deal. He's like some of their other top guys that barely show up. When they have a need for him, they dust them off. They bring him in to most of the time lose. I mean, all the championship matches, like world championship matches, he's had multiple ones now. He's lost every single one of them. Lost to Roman, lost to Cody. If he wrestles Punk, he's going to lose that one too. As he should, because he's not full-time. And if he's not able to commit full time, that's fine. But then I don't want to see him anywhere near the world championship. Like, I'm done with that. We've had enough of that over these last few years. We don't need more of that. C's, what's your favorite Io Sky match this year? I mean, it's one of two. It's either the WrestleMania Triple Threat or the match with Rhea at Evolution. Man, that match with Rhea was so good. I might lean towards the Rhea EO match, but it's tough. You can't go wrong with either one of those matches. It's one of those two. It's one of those two. When I do my end of the year, like, match of the year list, I'll have to figure out what goes where, but I think I'm leaning towards that Evolution match. JDFVA for the $5 super chat. I've always been advocating for cross-branding women's and tag team division. Am I wrong? Tag team division, yes. Women's division, no. You just have to supply an equal number of women for each show, which they have not done. There's an imbalance between the two shows right now. The tag team division, though, I agree with you on that. Should, at least the tag team titles are cross-branded. I think that the men's tag team titles should be reunified and that you should have floating champions there. That's what I think. MacTub, better overall performer in 99, Austin or Rock? Overall performer in 99, probably Austin. I'm sorry, Rock. Probably Rock. True Crime Unleashed, Dakota Kai is set to debut in AEW, aligned with Mercedes Moné as Charlie Girl. I don't know if that's supposed to be a joke. Or I don't know anymore. I don't know if that's a joke or if that's real. I don't think that's real. Maybe Charlie Angel. Then Mercedes can add somebody else and then she'll have Charlie's Angels. See, there you go. How do you like that, Sidro? The Seanathon, in your opinion, does Triple H hate the traditional Survivor Series elimination match? Feels like since he took over, he just refuses to do one on the PLE. Well, he's doing one on SmackDown in 2 weeks, so he must not hate it that much. I don't think he cares for it, but he obviously doesn't despise it because he wouldn't bring it back. Oofman Entertainment, Finn defeated Bobby Lashley at Mania 35 for the Intercontinental title. I can confirm this as I was there. I can also confirm that Bobby Lashley was not there. Really, I just have no memory of that match. Where were you sitting, by the way? You might have been sitting near each other. Leopoldo, how long before the crowd chants shut the fuck up to Cody? They're not going to chant shut the fuck up until he goes heel. You might start hearing some boos eventually, but they're not going to chant shut the fuck up at him. C's, what would you have Io doing at WrestleMania next year? I don't know. She probably will not be challenging for a championship, but I definitely want her on the card in some form. For her to not be on the card after having the year that she's had would be a huge slap in the face. So I don't know. I just hope she's on the actual show, preferably in a singles match. But if it was a triple threat, I could accept that. Holiday 197, shouldn't Bronson Reed be upset that Bron Breakker and Logan Paul caused a DQ in his WWE Championship match? This is going to make Reed look clueless. Well, that's how they like doing it. No, he's not going to be upset because evidently he was about to lose, and so therefore he got saved. And nothing matters in this company, so there you go. There's your answer. Nothing matters. Perfectly fine question to ask. Why would Paul Heyman go through the exercise of convincing him to make it a championship match and then seemingly not care that the match was blown? I don't know, but Triple H would tell you just shut up and enjoy the ride and don't ask questions. They don't like it when you do that. MacTub. Who has the WrestleMania match catalog besides HBK and Taker? Match catalog? I could think of a few people. Randy Savage has a pretty good catalog. Bret Hart has a pretty good catalog. So those are two names right there. Ron was killed. Guess WWE can only handle the truth. Says Leopoldo. Yeah, Ron Killings didn't last very long. He cut his hair off, and that was the end of Ron the Truth Killings. Oh, well. At least he got his job back. Griga, thank you for the $2. Appreciate it. Leopoldo says, what if Big Show's finisher was the small package? I would think that that would be a little difficult for him to pull off. especially with smaller opponents, he would crush them. Alexander, WWE just released Zack Ryder shirts on their store. Of course. Got to make as much money as you can while you can. I don't know that that's indicative of anything, but I'm not surprised. Leopoldo says, I thought Alexander said WWE just released Zack Ryder. Sadly, I would not have been surprised. Yeah. You know, as I look at that super chat again, that is the first thing that you see when you read it. WWE just released Zack Ryder. Man, as quickly as they brought him back, he's already been released. They brought him back just to release him. Grand opening, grand closing. Matt Fisher says, why don't pirates shower before they walk the plank? Because they wash up on shore later. Well done. Thank you, Matt. It's not a bad one. Leopoldo with a $13 Macho Man super chat. Cody might as well add GM to his name. He sure is comfy demanding matches from Aldis. He's becoming a bit insufferable. And why the hell was Reed not pissed that division, a.k.a. Braun Vision, interfered? Yeah, just talked about that. Don't have a good answer for you. You're not supposed to ask questions. Jamie Dorsch with an orange chat. You go from yellow to code orange here. Thank you for painfully watching SmackDown each week to keep us updated so we don't have to watch. What is Kane's best match? Does he have one? Kane's best match. I don't know. You stumped me. I think the one that will probably be the most memorable, I mean, it could be the first Undertaker-Kane one from WrestleMania, but I always think of the one where he won the championship. The first blood match, King of the Ring 98. It's a pretty memorable match. Quality-wise, probably not his best match, though. TLC 4, yeah, I mean, that's kind of cheating, but no, I mean, he was part of that match. TLC 4 on Raw, that was back in 2002. Yeah, I mean, probably that by default. Kane doesn't really have a catalog of, like, great matches, you know? He's had some memorable matches that he's been a part of, but I don't think anybody's making a list of, like, the top 15, top 20 Kane matches. I do remember there was that one match on Raw. I don't remember the date, but he had a match with the Big Show, and they were trying something different. They were doing chain wrestling, and I wish I could remember when that was. It was. I remember watching that, being like, "Holy shit! Like, what are they doing?" You know, they were trying something different. That's why I still remember that match all these years later. I just can't remember the actual like year or the date that it took place. Furious Nation with a $9.99 joining us tonight. What's up, Solo? Raw and SmackDown legit is night and day. Feels like Triple H is more hands-on with Raw and Road Dogg is more hands-on with SmackDown. Like you said, feels like Raw is more consistent. Yeah. And I don't really understand why, but you can tell just from the rosters, Raw has the stronger roster right now, and that helps. And, you know, why they haven't bothered in these last few months to extend that same assistance to SmackDown, I just don't really understand it. But it really does. I mean, it really does feel like night and day on most weeks between these two shows. 8-9 Tech, why Gunther isn't the guy in WWE right now? why is he not the guy? He's been out with an injury. And he's still a heel. And a heel is never going to be the guy in WWE. So that's why. He's great in the heel role. One day, if he goes babyface, you know, maybe some people will see him as the guy. But he's never going to be positioned as, like, in the role that Cody is in right now. Or the role that Roman was in. That's just not him. They're not going to have him in that role. Diego Vasquez, real question, Lady Gaga or Dua Lipa? Lady Gaga. Mount Vernon Kid says, did you hear about Santana losing the TNA title? No, I had no idea. Yeah, I'll be talking about that on Sunday as well. Jeremy Rose, do you see Jade as the type of heel that wants to face Bianca because she thinks she's unstoppable or tries everything to avoid her? I don't think she's going to try to avoid her. I don't know that they want to portray her that way. I think option one, not option two. Paul Carpenter, who wins, Brock Lesnar or Sid Vicious in any era? Brock Lesnar. I'm a big Sid mark. I love Sid. Back in the day, man, Sid was the guy, man. Sid was awesome. But I got to go Brock. See, the real match that we missed out on was like Prime Brock against Prime Vader. Like Big Van Vader. Like 92-93 Vader. That would have been something. Or imagine them as a tag team. Hey, Love Cats or Loves Cats. The Sunday shows, they don't drop at any specific time. Yeah, I record them as early as I can in the morning. I'm still collecting news and stuff. It's like an all-day effort. I try to get them out as early in the mid-afternoon as possible. Push them out. Hits the feed. Sometimes they don't go out until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. You just got to be subscribed to the feed, man. Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Spreaker, wherever you get your podcast from. Just make sure you're subscribed, and as soon as a new show pushes through, it may take a few minutes, but you'll see. Keep refreshing. It'll pop up. Jeremy says, I disagree with your take on Cardona. Don't you think he was Zack Ryder tonight because he has history with Cena? Dude, it doesn't matter. Like, he's Matt Cardona now. You know, Zack Ryder has been dead for fucking years. Matt Cardona had history with Cena. I mean, now we're picking nits here, but like, it's the same person, dude. You know, I mean, you could say Matt Cardona back in his Zack Ryder days had history with John Cena. So believe me, it would have been fine if they would have called him by his real name. I'm sure there was some sort of legal reason that they didn't want to call him Matt Cardona. I just think it's silly that he's Matt Cardona on their own television show like a month ago, and now he's Zack Ryder. It's just stupid. Furious Nation. Also, my grandma is going for partial hip replacement surgery tomorrow as she fell this past Wednesday, hoping for the best. I'm hoping for the best for her. I hope it all works out. It's very tough, especially when you get older. You hear a lot about that. You take a fall. You know, you have a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle. You know, we're kind of going through that right now. In my family, where, you know, someone falls and it's never a good thing. So I hope it all works out, man. Hey, Blue Jay, with 7 months of membership here, you need to listen to Jesse's idea of Blood and Guts from Wednesday. The idea of the match having a purpose in the title picture. These matches need sense. Well, I talked about Blood and Guts in my review on Wednesday and gave you my thoughts on that if you want to go check that out. Jonathan Peters, 12 months of membership. Sheamus, Shinsuke, Rusev, Priest, Gunther, Evans, Solo, Mystery Man, Jay Miz, LA, Cardona, Penta, Balor, just reading all the fucking names in the tournament. That's all 16. Mystery Hendry. Hendry wins it all. Okay, so yeah, the mystery men, that's it. Like, it's the last mystery spot in the tournament on Monday. It probably will be Hendry. I still feel like Gunther wins the whole thing. That's just how I feel. But it also, I would like to see like where these people are going to actually land. So hopefully once they're through this entire first round, we will get like a visual bracket so we know who's facing who. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you got to give us something so we could see what the different like match configurations are actually going to be. Cameo Johnson. Hey, Solo. Hope all is great. I imagined you were swinging the air like Trey from Boys in the Hood when you heard that they were expanding SmackDown back to 3 hours. Yes, I was punching the air. I had to double check to make sure I wasn't reading Wessel Votes. And then when I realized that it was Wrestle Votes, I just sank into a deep depression this afternoon. Leopoldo says, what's your early WrestleMania 50 prediction? I mean, at this point, it's going to be Solid Monster against the whoever is running the USA Network. The Mount Vernon Kid, Macaulay Culkin, reprised his role as an older Kevin in another commercial, and he met an older granddaughter of Old Man Marley. Wow. That's right. He was in some kind of commercial. So, is that the one I'm thinking of, or was there a new one? Chris Bello, what is Mark Henry's favorite Eddie Murphy movie? The True Crime Unleashed, WWE moved Money in the Bank to the end of September. They moved it to the beginning of September, not the end. Luis with a five. Speaking about Obafemi. KTLA decided to cut into the 10 o'clock news when Obafemi was making his grand return on Tuesday. Do you mean to tell me that your local TV station placed a higher priority on the local news than the return of Obafemi at the end of NXT? I mean, I would ban the whole network. I would ban the entire channel. By the way, earlier tonight, I did see that the news broke that YouTube TV and Disney reached an agreement to reinstate all Disney-owned channels on YouTube TV. I have been without ABC and ESPN for a couple of weeks now, and it hasn't really had any impact on my life. So the only thing I really give a shit about is that I'm still paying the same price for a service that now has fewer channels. That I have an issue with. So I got my $20 credit, but now apparently the channels are in the process of being restored. So if you are a YouTube TV customer, just be aware of that. Now you can watch your football again. Uh-oh, it's John Laurinaitis dropping $1.99. You know, John, you should probably save that money for your legal fees, buddy. I don't know why you're sending it to me. It says, this show needs a little more people power. People power. Cameo Johnson with a $4.99. What do you think of Mariah May in NXT? How they fumbled Julia, I am afraid Mariah will get the same treatment once she hits the main roster. WWE is too soulless. Yes, because The Rock took its soul when he couldn't get Cody's. I think that Mariah May is going to do very well. Mariah May has a lot of sex appeal. She's blonde. She's already right there. She's right where she needs to be, and she hasn't even hit the main roster yet. She already checks the boxes. Believe me, they're not going to fumble her the way that they fumbled Julia so far. Phoenix Downs, the greatest match during the Thunderdome era.
Dude, I honestly, like, I try to block that era out as much as possible. I mean, I know they had some dramatic stuff with, like, Roman and Jay. You know, they did that Hell in a Cell match. Roman and KO had that match at the Rumble that was in the Thunderdome. What was it, False Count Anywhere? Offhand, I don't know. Maybe the Boneyard match, if that counts. Maybe the Boneyard match at WrestleMania 36. There were some good matches during that era. I don't have any interest in going back and watching them, and I've blocked a lot of that out. Like, wrestling is not meant to be held in that kind of environment. You need to have fans in the buildings. So they made the most of a bad situation, but it's not like I have some sort of burning passion to go back 5 years ago. Oh, I got to go back and watch this. Like, no. I think 5 or 10 years from now, there might be some novelty in going back and checking some stuff out. But yeah, I'm probably leaning towards either one of the Roman KO matches or the Boneyard match or WrestleMania. Paul Carpenter with a 5. I watched Hulk Hogan versus Mr. Wonderful on YouTube in Canada. They teased Wonderful winning. I think he should have won the championship at least once. You know what? If they wanted to, that could have been saved for WrestleMania 3. But I would say they made the right decision. Not that Hogan Andre was some great technical masterpiece, but there's no bigger attraction that you could have done than Hogan Andre. But that was right around the time that Hogan and Orndorff were still feuding. They had that blow off in the cage on Saturday night's main event. That was only 2 months before WrestleMania 3. If they wanted to, they could have pushed it back. They could have put the belt on Orndorff in late 86 and had Hogan win it back at WrestleMania 3, but the timing just didn't work out. You know, they went with the bigger match. I would have done the same thing. You know, I would have done exactly what Vince did. Jeremy Rose, WWE once again fumbling this Cena tour. If the point of his last match is to get someone new over, Oba or Trick? He says Obi. Obi-Wan Kenobi? I don't think he needs the push. Says, not a made man in Gunther. Well, you say that if the point of his last match is to get someone new over, maybe that's not the point of his last match. That's what you say the point might be, but that's not what they may feel. I mean, I don't disagree. If the point is to get somebody new over, then sure, it shouldn't be Gunther. But who said that that was the point of the match? That's the point of the other matches that John Cena has said that he wants to have on that Saturday night's main event show. That's why they're doing a whole series of WWE versus NXT matches. You know, that may not be the point of his last match. The Mount Vernon Kid, rank these 4 Stone Cold segments. The Pillman Incident, paging Dr. Austin, Tyson and Austin Brawl on Raw, and Stone Cold versus Booker T in the supermarket. I mean, they're all classic segments in terms of my personal level of enjoyment. For me, I know it's different. You got 2 comedy segments, and then you have 2 more serious ones. So for me, I mean, the supermarket one is a classic, but I mean, Austin Tyson, that kicked everything off in 98, you know? That made all the newscasts. I remember watching my local news. Like Luis probably was. Actually, back then, Luis may have been a twinkle in his father's eye for all I know, but it was a big deal when they had that shoving match between Austin and Tyson. That was a big deal. You know, you left off what probably would be my favorite one. You didn't even include it here in your list, which is the Zamboni incident. Still one of the greatest segments of all time. But if I was going to rank them, I would go Tyson Austin, paging Dr. Austin, supermarket, gun incident. Super Pony, what's more miserable, being a Mets fan or a fan of one of the two New York NFL teams? Generally speaking, being a fan of New York sports. I mean, the Knicks are the best of the bunch, but otherwise they all pretty much suck. Uffman says, sat in section 323 for WrestleMania 35. All right, I don't remember what section I was in, but I know it was better than 323. Barry says, honestly, Cena deserved better than what he got this year. Yeah, they fumbled a good part of this final run, for sure. Duff's Vids. Did you know if you boil a funny bone, you get a laughing stock? Isn't that humorous? I have a... It's like a square, it's not framed or anything, but it's like a square tile on the wall in the living room. It's a picture of a cat holding up a bone, and it just says, I found this humorous. See, we're on the same wavelength as far as our humor. Matt Fisher, why did the wrestler bring a ladder to the match? Because he heard the competition was on another level. Duff's Vid says, what happened to the turkey that got in a fight? He got the stuffing knocked out of him. Some Thanksgiving humor. We have Thanksgiving coming up in 2 weeks. Leopoldo, I think Kane had great moments more so than matches. I agree. A lot of memorable Kane moments over the years. Wink the Cosmic Grandma with a 1999. Just got back from Southern Honor Wrestling, main show of the year, and AJ Styles was there to hand over the championship. Can't believe I've been watching him wrestle for 25 years. What is your favorite AJ Styles match? Probably the Wrestle Kingdom match with Nakamura. Z Paul Senti, buy or sell lemons or limes? Don't like either one. Sorry. Alexander, plot twist. What if Gable is the mystery opponent? He's not. Kevin Owens with the 499 says, Solo, fear not. I will be coming back soon to save this shit show that is SmackDown. Can't come back a day too soon. We miss you, KO. Cameo Johnson with a $4.99. Elimination Chamber will be at the United Center instead of Allstate. What are your thoughts? Do you think a WrestleMania or any other big pay-per-view will start being at the United Center? I'm gonna do a whole segment on this on the Sound Off. The only reason it's happening is because Allstate is booked. There's some sort of Monster Jam show there. I don't think they're going to start running at the United Center on a regular basis. So, again, I will definitely talk more about this on Sunday, though. We've got the... DeQuante? I want to make sure I pronounce that right. Hey, Solo, I've been following since TV Tracks. Can you see the Gunther and Evans match next week, ending like the 1-2-3 Kid and Razor match years ago? I don't. You know, kind of like that slip on a banana peel type finish. I don't. I can't rule it out, you know, and then Gunther just murders him after the match is over. I can't rule it out. But I just don't see it happening. It would be, I'll tell you what, though. If it worked out that way, if Javon beats Gunther, which I don't think he will, how is that not the upset of the year? How is that not the upset of the decade so far? Matt Fisher with the 12, thank you. No message, just showing some love. And Dubs Vids with the $4.99. If you date an FBI agent and break up, do they become your FedEx? Thank you, Dubs Vids. My aunt is still in the hospital, and I actually visited her last week, hoping to get her into a rehab center in the next week or two. So that's the hope. But she's been there now for, we're going on 2 months. Actually, I think as of yesterday, it was exactly 2 months since she landed in the hospital. So she's still, you know, in rough shape, but, you know, one day at a time. But thank you for asking. I appreciate that. So that was fun. A lot of good questions in there. Always appreciate that. And we had, of course, a long time ago, we had passed the 400 likes goal. We're actually sitting at 613, so you guys killed it. And that means that, of course, it is time for Be the Booker. So let's not waste any more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Let's not waste any more time, except we have Hulkling 93. Yeah, I heard from your brother earlier. $5 super chat. How can you retire a man who's retiring? LOL. I've been hearing that phrase, the one to retire John Cena. He's retiring, win, lose, or draw. Yes, but the idea is that you get to be the person who retired him. He is retiring. Question is, who is going to be the man that will always be able to say that if they beat him, if they win in that final match, they can say that I retired John Cena. See, that's the point. All right, tag team Be the Booker. We have the Usos. Jimmy and Jay. Shout out to Homo Sapien. Yeah, brother, they don't always show up. The super chats show up. Sometimes the yellow ones don't. But drop it in the chat if I see it. I'll try to answer it. So we got the Usos. And all their tag teams, how many tag team titles have they won over the years, right? It's got to be at least 7 or 8. The Usos, oh my goodness. Did we, am I crazy or did we not have this match last week? The Usos against Techno Team 2000. I could have sworn we had this match before. I wouldn't want to have this match once, let alone twice. I was all ready to hit the bell. I'm like, all right, who are we putting the Usos against, man? The Hart Foundation? Demolition? Fucking Techno Team 2000, man. I've already booked them more times than Vince ever did. Oh, my God. I hit the wrong button. I don't even know what I'm doing. I just gave her every sound effect I have. Just play every sound. Fucking Brie Bella. We have Brie mode in the super chat sometimes. We have Brie mode in Be the Booker. It is inescapable. It is absolutely inescapable. I don't know what the point is. I'll pick an opponent anyway, but I mean, I don't really think it's going to change much. Yeah, Jazz. God bless Jazz, but I mean, it's not changing anything. It's not changing anything. I just went full soundboard there on that one. All right, main event. We have the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He had a good run. Not very long, but he had a good run. Ken Shamrock against Mil Muertes. Hey, how about that? And we'll add a stipulation to it, too, because why not? In a blindfold match. I just ruined that main event, didn't I? Of all the matchups, dude, we have Lion's Den. You couldn't land on Lion's Den. We landed on Lion's Den on Monday or Wednesday. I forget which day it was. Why couldn't we land on it tonight? We had Ken Shamrock in the main event. No, we have to land on blindfold match. We had it. We had a bell for the main event, and amazing. What? Did we go 0 for 3? We didn't go. Oh, yeah, we did go 0 for 3. I guess, yeah, we were going to go 1 for 3, but now we went 0 for 3. I'm sorry, guys. Oh, shit. You know what? I forgot. I don't even know what I'm doing tonight. I forgot we had the sweep. We had the sweep. It's the reverse sweep. That's the worst kind of sweep that you can have. That's not the one that you want. Tomorrow, again, I'm going to be out in Brentwood, New York, out on Long Island. House of Glory, Super Clash. It's a stacked card, and honestly, it's the best and biggest women's card that we have ever had in House of Glory. It's not only women's matches, but it is by far the strongest women's card that we put together. And plus, all those other guys, as you see there in that advertisement. So that begins at 8 p.m. If you can't be there, we will be streaming live on Triller TV. I will be on the call, and it should be a fun night. And if anybody's going to be at the big event expo tomorrow, maybe we'll bump into each other. I'm going to try to get there before it ends. Our show is not until 8 o'clock at night, but maybe around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, maybe. I'll be walking around. I'll be the guy in the suit. Kind of hard to miss. I won't be wearing my Mark Henry salmon suit. I just wore that. I can't wear that again. I'm not going to be in my Macho Man costume either. But I'll be there. And then when I'm back with you live again, it will be Monday night. That's going to be a big night. It's John Cena's last ever match in Madison Square Garden. We don't know who he's going to face. We'll find out who Solo Sikoa's mystery opponent is going to be in the tournament. So it's going to be a big night. And Becky Lynch defends her Intercontinental title against Maxine Dupri. And I suspect that we're going to get the return of a certain OTC. So come on back here, and we'll talk about all of it on Monday night. Before that, though, you've got episode 938 of The Sound Off. That's going to be dropping sometime on Sunday afternoon. That'll be my hangover from the HOG show. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. Have yourselves a great weekend. And I will see you back here very soon, live on YouTube for more Sound Off. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Friday night, guys. I appreciate it. I'll see you then.